Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Jessica with Turn the Page podcast, and our guest today is...
I'm Alexis Henderson, the author of The Year of the Witching, which releases July 21st. I'm super excited to be here.
We're super excited to have you. It was such an amazing book. I finished it within a day and a half, which is saying a lot because life is very busy, but I could not put it down.
First of all, thank you so much for the kind words about my book. The Year of the Witching is a dark fantasy about a girl named Emmanuel who is trying to break the curse that a coven of witches has cast upon her home. But in the process of trying to defeat the witches, she uncovers dark secrets about the church and prophet that she serves.
It was great. When I was reading it, it felt very much like I felt very much like we were uncovering things with Emmanuel. You know, I believe we knew that the church that she belonged to was oppressive. It was very clear, but there was so much more about it that we got to see as we turned the pages. You know, like doors were opening for Emmanuel as they were opening for us. So that was a really nice touch.
Thank you. Yeah, I think, you know, when I was writing the book, it was the same experience almost. So like as I was writing, I was discovering things along with the character, so it felt really organic as I was writing it. I didn't know the ending when I started the book. I hadn't fully plotted it, so it was kind of like this journey of discovery alongside Emmanuel. At times I felt like we were holding each other's hand, like trying to traverse this like strange and dark world together.
Where did you come up with the idea?
So I got an image one day out of nowhere of this young girl crouching in the forest at the foot of this creature who, it was the naked woman with the body, the body of a naked woman, a deer skull for a head. And I saw this image and it would not leave me alone. I couldn't stop thinking about it. And the story grew outward from there. So at first it was just me with this image and trying to figure out like the context that surrounded it. And then, it's almost like a pupil dilating. It just kind of expanded outward. And it was interesting, again, like kind of mining these details and grasping for like every little thing that I could find to build out this world and flesh out the story.
Yeah, so that's that image is very, it's definitely a very strong image in the book as well. So Emmanuel, she was raised in like a puritanical society. She's an outcast for a bunch of reasons, one of which she's biracial.
Yeah.
And her mother broke with the church, and her mother's lover, Daniel Ward, came from a bloodline of, with a history of witchcraft, which I hope isn't giving too much away.
No, not at all.
but, you know, there, you learn more about that. But also her mother, Miriam, was supposed to have married the prophet, who is the head of their church. But when we first meet Emmanuel, she's getting her best friend ready to marry the prophet, which is the same prophet that would have married her mother. Yeah. I can think of a few people who feel like this man to me in the real world. Was there any specific situation, any specific cult, which helped you sort of flesh out the way that the church worked?
I think in general, I was just sort of fascinated by religious fundamentalism. So I couldn't really point specifically to one cult. Unfortunately, there are just so many that kind of mirror these patterns where you have old men in positions of power, and oftentimes that the people they choose to prey upon are young women. So that sort of pattern inspired me. And I did kind of want to examine the psyche like behind these mentalities. Like, why are people okay with this? And what is going on in the heads of these men who sort of helm these institutions and these cults. So yeah, I was really more fascinated with that. And I think I did, you know, draw influences from like different, you know, religions, and certainly in an ascetic sense, there's like different influences from different churches, you know, around the world. But for the most part, I was sort of inspired by that sickness that I see present in so many cults, and not even just cults, but I remember around the time that I was finishing the book, the Me Too movement was picking up. So even outside of religious settings, there were just so many men in positions of power who were preying upon women, and these stories were coming out. And I think that definitely was at the forefront of my mind while I was working on the story as well.
Yeah, it was really effective. When did you start writing this story?
Oh, I should know the year because it was the year.
I don't even know. Well, I do know what year it is because it's been a really crazy year. It's 2020, but I don't know what day it is. So I feel that.
I started writing it. Oh, what year did I graduate college? I started writing it my senior year of college. So I'm 24. I started writing it my senior year of college. It was the second semester. So what would that have been? I'm not sure. But and I finished it. Yeah, I finished it just as I was graduating, so a month or two after I graduated. And you know, the Me Too movement was picking up, and I was, you know, hearing all these things. I had already been working the story, and in some ways, it did almost feel like a prophecy in a way, or at least that, like, collectively, we were all thinking about these things, and it was, you know, I keep thinking about saying time's up, but it just felt timely, and it felt like a lot of other people were focused on the same thing as I was writing the story. I didn't feel like I was alone in that.
Right.
So it was an interesting experience to see that kind of come to fruition, and also as just like a reader and kind of like a participant in these discussions, to see other people and the art that they created from oftentimes from places of pain at the same time that I was working on the story. I remember when Margaret Atwood's like sequel to The Handmaid's Tale was announced, and I was like, oh, like, you know, so many people are writing these stories at this time, and I don't think it's any coincidence.
The Handmaid's Tale definitely was in the back of my mind as I was reading Year of the Witching. I guess because it had this fundamentalist feel to it, and I know the original Handmaid's Tale. You know, the original Handmaid's Tale, the TV series has a very diverse cast. But I know the original Handmaid's Tale, everybody was white. The society was, you know, there were no Black people. There were, you know, people of color were not recognized in the society, were not, I believe, if I recall, because it's been a while since I've read the book, you know, even, you know, people who were Jewish, might have been white, but Jewish, were like dumped someplace. If I seem to remember there being something about a boat that was supposed to take them someplace, and that's the last anybody ever heard of them. I know, I mean, the TV series is amazing, and I absolutely love the cast. I know June's husband is Black, and
Gloria.
Yes. And they've really taken that story and brought it to this current world and made it very, very immediate. So I definitely saw some Margaret Atwood in your story.
That is the highest compliment. Thank you. I'm a huge fan.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Me too. And I do recall when I had read The Handmaid's Tale for the first time, it really freaked me out because it felt very real. It felt very possible. And I know that Margaret Atwood herself has said that she only writes about things that have actually happened. Mm. So, you know, again, like with your book, I felt like it was very real as well. And I loved the occult horror side of it. So the image was Lilith, the queen of the witches, who Emmanuel finds. So, and Emmanuel has some unexpected allies in her church, especially in Ezra. And I have to say, the writing in the scene where she meets Ezra for the first time took my breath away.
Oh,
it was
my God,
so beautiful. I don't want to say the line that really got me, because I would like the readers to experience it for themselves. But how did you start? How did you start conceiving Ezra? Ezra, for all intents and purposes, and his mother, who is the prophet's favorite wife because he has many wives, he should have been indoctrinated as a true believer, but there's so much more to him.
Yeah. Ezra was a difficult character to sort of wrangle. I kind of affectionately refer to him as my problem child, because I put a lot of work and a lot of heart into that character and just kind of trying to get into his head, because he's quite complicated and he tries very hard, and I think he has a good heart, but he doesn't always do the right thing. And so trying to like reconcile that with the fact that, you know, this is an earnest character who does, you know, want to do good things, but also is kind of conflicted because of his upbringing, was kind of a fascinating challenge. And I think it's a challenge that sort of characterizes my experiences with him as a writer, trying to balance this, the fact that he, you know, should be indoctrinated, is to some extent indoctrinated, is to a great extent blinded by his privilege. And he's kind of, through Emmanuel and her journey, is learning more about how sick the society that he's a part of really is. Because I think at the beginning of the book, I don't want to say too much, but at the beginning of the book, I think that he realizes that there are problems in the society, but the problems to him that are the greatest are the ones that affect him, you know, that affect his freedoms, or that make him have to behave in a certain way that he doesn't like. And I think that it's a very almost selfish way to look at the society, because there are so many other problems with it, but he only sees through, you know, his narrow point of view. So his experience of growth, and it's kind of ongoing throughout the book, and even beyond book one, of like realizing the true darkness of this world that he's a part of, and his role in fixing it or addressing it. It was such a challenge. It's still a challenge. I'm working on book two now, and it's an ongoing growth process, which I think is why I do identify with him in a way, because he's not just innately good. He's fighting to be good, and he's trying to like learn. And that's a process that I think, you know, all of us could kind of relate to. Not all of us, but those of us who are trying and can relate to that.
I can certainly relate to it. And it's very difficult, especially for somebody like him, who really could have gone the other way and just steamrolled over everybody, you know, to put himself in danger for understanding her situation. And I really loved it. And I'm so happy you said book one, because another thing I wanted to ask you was, is Emmanuel's journey finished? Because I felt like there was definitely an opening for more towards the end of the book. And I was hoping that we would get to see her grow some more.
Yeah, so there will be a book two. I'm writing it right now. It should be out next year. I don't have like a date firm set, but yeah, it should be out roughly in a year or so. And that it's very true that she has so much growing to do. She's so young, and so it's been really exciting and just a privilege to be able to continue that story, because it was something that I didn't think that I would be able to do or be allowed to do. But boy, it's a challenge. Writing second books is a challenge. And watching characters grow and trying to help them grow into like their full potential through the course of a new story, it's really helping me like flex my muscles as a writer.
Yeah, it was such a great read, and I'm certainly making it a staff pick and going to be recommending it to people.
Yeah, I'm just
excited. You know what I wanted to ask about?
Yeah.
So Miriam, Emmanuel's mother, she ran off with a young black man, Daniel, as we mentioned before. And throughout most of the book, we get to experience Emmanuel's relationship with her maternal grandmother. And Miriam is like, she's somebody they don't talk about because she rejected the prophet. And, you know, it's like she's like this family shame, but you can kind of tell that they loved her so much. Mm-hmm. And then you get to meet Daniel's mother, Emmanuel's paternal grandmother. How did you go to working her story?
That was interesting. It was one of the things actually that I kind of included later on. So I had done many rounds of edits before. I think it was my editor was like, I want more about Daniel's family. And I had always, not always, but when I knew that I was going to be able to write a second book, I had planned to kind of like fill in the details about Daniel's family and like just flesh them out and explore that more. But when she, my editor planted the seed to like include some of that in book one, I jumped at the chance. So yeah, she was just a fascinating character. She had always been present for a long time. I knew who she was, but then when she appeared on the page, I was like, goodness, like I remember.
She's so strong.
She is. And I remember kind of having a similar reaction to her that I had to like Lilith when I first got the idea for that character, just kind of like a strength. I got that little bit of strength and that little glimpse of her, and then I just kind of expanded out from that gradually. But she'll be more present in book two. She has a story into herself, and yeah.
Excellent. And again, I love horror. I love dark fantasy. I love occult stories, occult fiction, and this one brought a new twist to it. It really was a twist that I think is something people are thirsting for.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. So before we wrap up, because I don't want to give too much of the story away. I just really want people to read it. It was so good. Are there authors other than Margaret Atwood? Are there like, do you generally read horror yourself? Are you an occult horror fan yourself, or did you just kind of find your way into this?
I do. I read horror, quite a bit of horror and dark fantasy. What's the read that most recently, the read that sort of just like gripped me and would not let go that I think about regularly is Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer, which is that like cosmic horror.
Dark, yep. We love it here too.
Absolutely love that book. I think about it every single day. The movie's great as well, and I listen to the soundtrack and it reminds me so much of the book. So yeah, I do try to read, and I have right sitting next to me right here is on the Lottery and Other Stories by Shirley Jackson, who I think is just a queen. I mean,
oh, so much. The Lottery is like
so chilling. I kind of want someone to make a whole Netflix show of just the Lottery, like in the whole
I would watch that.
Me too. I think it would be so good.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of horror. I like horror movies. I read horror books and graphic novels. Like anything I can get hands on, really. I like being scared. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, excellent. Once again, I want to thank you so much, Alexis Henderson. And we are going to be hosting you for a virtual Bring Your Own Beverage, I believe in October 29th. Over Zoom at Syosset Library. We can't wait either. And once again, this is Jessica, and we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.